Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, from cold cadavers to clever cloakers, and today we're covering cloud giants. What year is it, Brian?
The year of the big guy.
It's true. We're talking about one of the six true big guys.
Year of the giant, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Huge giants.
So cloud giants are one of the six true giants in Dungeons & Dragons. They are the second strongest of all giant kind and are the first real heavy hitters we are going to talk about for this year of the giant.
Okay.
In fact, due to the reclusiveness of storm giants, the only giants that rank cloud giants in the ordning, cloud giants are often the de facto acting giant authority in any given region they dwell.
Oh, wow.
They're uncontested.
I mean, like, their region is, like, must be the sky, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
so they can, like, transcend, like, so you have, like, fire giants in mountains and frost giants in, like, the land, like, these landscapes, but the clouds, baby, they're everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Although we'll get into the fact that most of them don't actually live in clouds.
Oh, fuck.
Very deceiving. Some of them do.
I'm here to learn.
Okay. So this authority is one they benevolently flaunt and exercise regularly. Hmm. Cloud giants are famous for many things, from their extreme wit and cleverness to their high pride and ostentatiousness, from their inherent magical prowess to their mystical homes in the clouds. Suffice to say, the cloud giants are very much unlike any other type of giant we have discussed so far on the show.
Okay. Are that kind of points me in the direction, like, the giants above them do this stuff and more. Which is to say, like, storm giant? Like,
yeah, storm giants.
Yeah,
storm giants, like, are the only giant above
them. They're like, this is you've broken the threshold of, like, what giants do at this level.
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
Cool.
So cloud giants are depicted as having muscular humanoid builds and handsome or beautiful, well-defined features. Hmm. Their skin ranges in color from milky white tinged with blue to a light sky blue. Their hair is silvery white or brass in color, and their eyes are an iridescent blue. The typical cloud giant is 24 feet tall. So. Ooh. Real big.
A real big guy.
3 feet taller than, I think, frost giants, who are the next tallest.
Okay. So, that's right, because it's fire giants are a little shorter, even though they're higher on the ordinary.
Exactly, yeah. So 24 feet tall and weigh in at about 11,000 pounds. Female cloud giants can be 1 to 2 feet shorter and about 1,000 to 2,000 pounds lighter.
Okay.
Cloud giants dress in clothing of the finest make and materials and are often adorned with an extravagant assortment of jewelry.
Shoot.
Part of the ordning they follow dictates that one's appearance indicates their station. The better the clothes and the finer the jewelry, the more important the wearer. Cloud giants live an average of about 400 years long.
Okay, that's a pretty long time.
It is, yeah.
Not as long as elves. Boo-hoo.
Well, yeah. Well, elves live an extraordinary fucking long time.
I know, so. Elves are so cool, right?
Yeah, right. I like elves.
I think I'm starting to like elves.
Yeah, elves are cool. I mean, you're playing one.
Yeah.
So. Cloud giants are aptly named, or at least they were at one time. Few of them live literally on clouds anymore, but most do reside atop high mountains, inside or even above a near perpetual layer of cloud.
Okay, so just where clouds are.
Yes, indeed. A select few of those at the apex of the clan's ordning claim the last of the ancient cloud castles of ancient Astoria that still drift across the sky.
Okay.
No one alive can build these majestic structures any longer. The methods of their construction were lost, along with much other knowledge, when Astoria fell. Some cloud giants believe the information might yet be buried in some long-forgotten and ruined library. Rumors of its existence crop up from time to time, stirring debate and dreams of resurgent glory among the cloud giants. But definite information has proven impossible to obtain. Many cloud giants think that someday a hero will unearth this ancient secret. Until then, they must be satisfied with watching clouds drift past their mountaintop homes instead of living on top of those clouds as days of yore.
So they pretty much just, like, muse about, like, the...
When we were dope.
When we were dope and when we will be dope again. Like,
yeah.
When the child of prophecy returns
exactly,
to the land and, like, sends the land up to the sky. There's a wizard that did that in Forgotten Realms. He like,
oh yeah, he raised the city up.
Yeah. And then it probably fucking fell.
It did fall. Yeah. And that was, oh my God.
There's a desert region, like inland of Waterdeep, that is like, that's the lore there.
I believe it was the city of Netheril.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the Mystra episode.
Yeah. Mystra's so fucking cool.
She is.
So they are. So this, these cloud giants, they're basically just like mountaintop dwellers.
Kinda. Yeah. And they are, they're like nobility, if you will. They dress in the finest clothes, eat the finest food, and all this other stuff.
They we're going to get into it. They kind of, you touched on it, and it almost reminded me of like genies and genasi a little bit. The way like their skin is colored with the different like flavorful hair.
It is.
They like the finery. Fantastical.
Yes.
Like the very much so. Like genies.
And genies like are very much, they genasi. Live like nobility as well.
Yeah. 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 Cool. So this is kind of like a big genie. Not really, but...
kind of. A little bit.
Aesthetically.
Yes. Cloud giants are spread to the winds, encompassing vast areas of the world. Unlike most other types of giants who live communally in large groups of clanmates, the central unit of a cloud giant society is the family unit, usually a mated pair, their offspring, and perhaps a couple of close relatives.
Okay, that's cool.
Cloud giants prefer not to congregate in great numbers in any one place to avoid drawing too much attention. Mm. It's not that they fear attack from humanoids or monsters, because few creatures other than dragons can challenge their power, but if more than a few lived in the same place, the size of their combined treasure hoard would attract an incessant stream of adventurers and other would-be thieves, a nuisance cloud giants rather avoid altogether.
Okay.
Still, despite the great distances that separate the homes of their families, cloud giants aren't completely isolated. Every cloud giant family or individual knows where their nearest neighbors are, even if the location is hundreds of miles away. And those neighbors know where their nearest neighbors are, and so on across the world. In a crisis, word is spread from family to family so that a mighty squad of cloud giants can be assembled in time if need arises.
They're like fucking Great Wall of China-ing it, like Mulan. They're fucking lighting the fire, like, it's we're in trouble.
We're needed. Can you imagine? A fucking army of cloud giants. Oh, holy shit.
Can you imagine a red dragon going up there and they light the fire and it's like, now all the cloud giants know you're here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. That's time to amazing. Bail. That's too funny.
Okay, that's fucking cool. I like how you're it's like it reminds me of farm. Mulan is dope.
Mulan is great. Yeah.
It reminds me of like farm living, where you have like such big plots of land, your nearest neighbor's literally miles and miles from you.
It is kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
And also...
It's more like nobles of a province.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
All the nobles know each other, but they live miles and miles and miles away from each other because they each have their own province.
Yeah, yeah. Or the air temples and... like Avatar, there's four of them, but they're spread out.
Right.
Yeah. They all know where each other are.
Exactly.
Other nations don't.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So cloud giants are beholden to a belief system known as the Ordaining of Extravagance.
Ooh.
Unlike other types of giants, a cloud giant's position within the Ordaining doesn't depend on any talent or skill. It instead depends on wealth.
Yeah.
The more treasure a cloud giant possesses, the higher its standing in the Ordaining. Now, this sounds simple and straightforward, but there is a bit more to it than that. Ownership of wealth is one thing, but wealth that is kept locked away means little to cloud giants. Mm. To fully contribute to one's status, wealth must be displayed for all to see, and the more ostentatious the display, the better.
Hell yeah.
In a cloud giant family's home, extravagance is omnipresent. One might boast windows framed in gold leaf, rare perfumed stored in vials of crystal with silver lids, or a scene in the sky depicted on a tapestry composed entirely of pearls.
See, this is resonating with me, because why have all this dope shit stuff and just like... hoard it, you fucking dragons. What are you doing?
That's hilarious.
At least these guys are like, I got money, I'm spending it, I got my gold chain,
right,
and nobody
right.
is stopping me.
Yeah.
I mean, this.
Yeah, I can see your point for sure. Absolutely.
I like this. Although I would not live this way if it were up to me.
No.
But if I were to live with money, I would use it.
Right.
Okay.
However, value is only one part of the assessment of a cloud giant's wealth display.
Okay.
The extravagances a cloud giant wears or places about its home must also be beautiful or wondrous.
Okay.
Sacks of gold or gems are worth less to a cloud giant than the jewelry that might be crafted from those very same materials.
Means to an end.
Yeah, creating treasures that bring esteem to a cloud giant's household.
Okay.
So another way for a cloud giant family to demonstrate their wealth is by bestowing lavish gifts on other families. Now, nice. Make no mistake, a gift from one family to another doesn't prove anything about the giving family's generosity. No cloud giant truly believes that it's better to give than to receive. A family does so only with an eye toward how the giving can elevate its status in the eyes of other cloud giants.
Yeah, they're going to play the game.
Right. For if one is willing to part with something of great value of one's own volition, then one must have much greater amount of wealth so that parting with the gift is a paltry loss.
Yeah, dude, like, here's some magic item shit. It's priceless. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
I'm good.
Yes, it's exactly it. Of course, it's all quite a bit more complicated than even that.
Okay.
Trickery plays a role in this game. Ooh. The very best gift from the giver's perspective is one that everyone believes to be far more valuable than it actually is.
Appraised too high.
Indeed. Ooh. Only the giver and the receiver will ever know the gift's true value, and neither of them would ever reveal a gift is worth less than it appears to be, because to do so would reduce the status of both of them.
So if I rolled into like the family reunion and was like giving the little kids like priceless like little magic rings that do like trinket stuff. Uh-huh. Like, oh, here, little Jimmy Giant. Here's a fucking ring of like turning your drink cold or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, oh, it is but a pittance to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, make sure their fucking dad is watching when you give it to
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Make some eye contact.
They want people to see it. But at the same time,
hand out magic rings like candy.
It might actually be a magic ring that only works like 4 times.
Yep.
But no one else knows that except for the person who got it and it runs out and the person gave it because it was theirs.
And when little Jimmy the Giant starts complaining that his ring stops working.
Well, he won't complain because he doesn't want people to know that he now has a ring that sucks.
Oh, you duped his ass.
That's how this game works.
Because I was going to turn it. I was going to flip it on little Jimmy, who's really big probably, and be like, oh, he's too dumb to use the thing, so better give it back.
Yeah, no. And it's not like that. It's you don't say a word because you don't want people to know that you got duped.
Oh, you'd think it would like the paper trail would come back like, you gave my kid a shitty ring.
No, because
if you did it right,
if you did, you would have to do it right. But this also, I love this idea of like, actually, no cloud giants are wealthy. It's all a bunch of bullshittery.
Yeah.
And all their shit sucks and is like, it's all like chintzy and just looks great like on the surface.
So you have all the cool shit in your house and the stuff that's getting passed around as gifts is shitty stuff. Yeah, maybe.
Exactly. Except for it looks good on the surface.
Yeah.
And anyone who receives it won't admit it was shitty because then they admit they have a shitty thing.
Unless you need like the top layer thing, which is to actually elevate your status. So you give somebody something that's actually okay.
You can do that. But again, cloud giants try not to do
it. It would hurt you in the long run because you would have one less cool thing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so despite the insatiable greed rampant among cloud giants, stealing from one another or fighting over treasures, it's considered to be non-acceptable.
Okay, good. I was going to say they're not doing that, right?
They're
not. After all that play.
Instead, cloud giants vie with each other for wealth in a much more civil manner.
Mm-hmm.
Gambling.
Oh, that's dope. It's okay if it's all off the chance, right?
Cloud giants are inveterate gamblers with a hunger for high risks and high rewards.
Oh, damn.
A great amount of wealth changes hands between cloud giants when they indulge their obsession for gambling and wagering. They frequently bet on the outcomes of events nominally outside their control, such as the lives of lesser creatures. Ordning ranks and king's ransoms can be won and lost in bets over the military triumphs of humanoid nations.
This episode is going to have major replay value for me because you peeling back the layers like that to reveal this has been like, this changed my total perspective. Right. I am now picturing like the top floor of a casino on a mountain. Like, sure. Yes. Okay.
Well,
cloud casino. Let's go.
Cloud casino. No, I love it. Let's keep going. Now, cloud giants don't engage in betting for enjoyment. It is less a form of entertainment than a type of bloodless feuding.
Okay.
No cloud giant is a good loser, and one would be aghast to hear someone else say, I lost 40 pounds of gold, but I had a good time.
Yeah.
Betting wars between families can go on for generations with fortunes and estates and the position in the ordning that goes with them passing back and forth repeatedly. What a parent loses, a child hopes someday to win back, plus more. What that child wins back, a grandchild probably will eventually lose again. The tales the cloud giants tell of their ancestors are seldom about wars or magic or battles against dragons. They're about brilliant wagers won through boldness or deceit, and rival families brought to disgrace and ruin by the same.
There is so much here. Are we short resting?
We're short resting.
Yes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
We have returned.
Top of my mountain palace.
Indeed, above the clouds.
Where I want to spend this cash.
It's true.
To get your cash.
It's so true. So a good way to describe cloud giants is as essentially giant nobility.
High rollers, man.
High rollers.
Yeah,
true.
Get it?
I get it. They dwell in their extravagant castles high above the various peoples of the world, living in their own isolated bubbles of politics, privilege, and indulgence. Some cloud giant families, though, take this role of the noble to the extreme and exercise their ability to rule.
Ooh, like rule other giants or rule other everything?
Yes.
Ooh.
So, including ruling over other giants. That was my next sentence.
Okay.
The reclusive storm giants rarely engage with the rest of giant kind, so cloud giants kind of have free reign.
Okay.
As a result, many cloud giants see themselves as having the highest status and power among the giant races. They order lesser giants to seek out wealth and art on their behalf, employing fire giants as smiths and crafters, using frost giants as reavers, raiders, and plunderers. Dim-witted hill giants serve them as brutes and combat fodder, sometimes fighting for the cloud giants' amusement.
So that's kind of eye-opening, because I remember being like, well, how the fuck are these frost giants getting stuff? Like, good stuff at all, if they have it.
Cloud giants might be like, all right, we'll outfit you guys in shit, but you guys serve us. And the frost giants are never going to say no.
Right.
Because of the ordering. And because the cloud giant will bitch slap it if it tries to say no.
Exactly. So they could potentially be funded. Okay, cool.
Right.
Nice.
So now for humanoids. Having a cloud giant as your overlord is a mixed bag.
Yeah, sounds like
cloud giants are famous or infamous for demanding tribute from the humanoids that live beneath them.
Mm.
Such tribute is only proper from their perspective for two reasons. First, cloud giant presence in an area benefits everyone by driving away many evils of the world, especially flying predators such as manticores and wyverns. Now, this is pretty valid because it's true. As we know from the last 180 or so episodes of this show, there are a lot of scary and powerful things out there in D&D.
Yeah.
Some try to eat you, some try to enslave you, some try to kill you for funsies, and some literally try to take your souls to another dimension for the rest of eternity.
Some just want your babies.
Some just want your babies. maybe a cloud giant asking for 1/10 of your crops isn't so bad.
No, yeah, I get it. They're like, okay, I'll smash the hag and get your baby back.
Yeah.
If that comes to that. So that's the trade-off is like, I donate shit to you, like a tax.
And you keep me
and
safe.
And you keep me safe.
Which is really how nobility was theoretically supposed
to
work.
Well, yeah, this is modeled off of like, what is serfdom the right word?
Yes.
Yeah.
Serfdom. So, that is like, the right word.
This is much better than a dragon ruling you, right? Because a dragon will rule you.
Depends on the dragon.
Yeah.
It depends on the dragon. Like,
if we're talking about like Lord of the Rings, like a Smaug situation.
Yeah, if we're talking about like a red dragon situation, that's not great.
No.
He's going to come and rage all the time, and there's nothing you could do. Like,
yeah, and like, he's not protecting you other than being like a force that other evil won't want to intrude on.
Yeah, it's just he doesn't protect you at all. Like, a red dragon doesn't protect you at all. It just demands things of you and then probably eats you anyway.
So this is the best case scenario if you need this sort of protection.
Sort of. The best case scenario would be a silver or gold in the area.
Oh, I get it. And they're
or
kind
a bronze,
of they're kind of just being like a justice hero running around.
Yeah, because the metallics are going to be actually good. Well, cloud giants are just going to be kind of like chaotic neutral-ish in a way.
Sure. So this derailment here that I'm about to take us on is more like, how often are you rolling up on cities where they're being ruled by some monster manual creature?
I mean, it just depends on what kind of world you're running. I don't generally run worlds where like monsters rule the realms.
Yeah. See, that's kind of...
It's a fun idea.
And I don't have too much experience offside your table. So like it is a fun idea. How common do you think it is? Like, do you think the whole world is set up where it's like dissected by, you know, the cloud giants rule where the cloud giants are and the dragons rule where they are? And I don't know, are there other like entities that are assuming kingship or like creating a monarchy or something like that?
Sure. I'm sure there's plenty of campaigns that do stuff like that.
Holy shit. I never really thought that the world, I never thought about it, that the world could be just dissected up into not just like man kings, but like.
Yeah.
Cloud kings.
Cloud kings and dragon kings and beholder kings, maybe. I don't know.
So you're really leaning into like the this ordning style subjugation of tiered races and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
So that's the first of the two reasons cloud giants think they should get tribute.
Okay.
The second reason is a little less reasonable.
Okay.
Cloud giants believe that they deserve to be rewarded for their forbearance. Very few could stop them from simply taking what they want because they're fucking cloud giants.
And they're going to remind you of that.
But instead of doing exactly that, they instead allow their tribute to be, quote unquote, freely given. The logic of that position is clearer to the giants than it is to those on the other end of this arrangement.
Yeah, because they're like,
just take it. So I deserve it for just not taking it. So you should just give it to me.
Yeah, or I'll come take it.
But remember, giants, good or evil, don't operate on a normal moral spectrum. They have their mot and their mog, and that's what they live by.
Yes. It'd be really cool to see like a relationship if you were to role play this and have a city like this, to have your cloud giant be like that, but then have like, there is a human though that commands the respect of the cloud giant or
that'd
whatever.
Cool.
That would be fun.
It would be fun too if it was like not like a warrior or powerful, you know. It's just like the richest, dopest dude coming in with all the bling, all the jewelry, all the robes, and like has connects to all the dope shit that the cloud giants like.
Like it's the homie. You might as well be a cloud giant. Yeah,
exactly.
But you can
call him little homie.
That would be a cool in for a party. Like, you can reason with him though because he is a human.
Yeah.
And maybe he can see your ploy and get you an in so you can go do the thing where you murder hobo and fuck everything up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it.
So much of the tribute that cloud giants accept is in the form of livestock and crops, but this isn't their only source of food. Cloud giants are avid gardeners. Almost all cloud giant strongholds devote space to a garden that produces enormous yields. Beans as big as turnips, turnips as big as pumpkins, and pumpkins as big as carriages.
Yay!
The garden of a cloud giant family is seldom affected by drought, frost, or locusts. When such a calamity strikes nearby farms, some cloud giant families have been known to share their bounty to ease the humanoids' food shortage. So, like, some cloud giants are nice.
Yeah. But they're going to expect something in return.
Yeah, exactly. Such events are at the root of tales about magic beans and others about a human family living in a cottage car from a single enormous gourd. Beyond that, the Cloud Giant's generosity in times of want helps to cement their reputation as friends of humankind, a reputation that serves them well, even though it's not entirely deserved.
Oh, man. I'm sorry I keep going into stuff, yeah. But, like, can you imagine rolling up on a city that's fucking, like, or a little town or encampment that is just, like, a bunch of fucking big-ass pumpkins and
that'd
people
be cool.
living inside
that'd
of them.
That'd be fucking dope.
It's like, our house was destroyed by the blah, blah, blah.
But we and were now given we, these pumpkins.
We were given the pumpkins. They
by
smell,
the Sky Father.
They smell like shit. They smell so bad, but they keep the rain off me.
Yeah, right. That's horrifying. So
Giant Jimmy gave these to
Giant
us.
Giant Jimmy. The patron god and father of the Cloud Giants is Memnor the Trickster.
Okay.
The cleverest of the giant deities.
Okay.
But Memnor isn't only clever. He's sly and deceitful as well. Tales of his exploits emphasize his charisma, his smooth manner, and his ability to manipulate and mislead his siblings and other legendary figures into doing exactly what he wants, usually to their great detriment.
Okay.
Thus, Cloud Giants have two distinct aspects of Memnor to admire and emulate. Evil Cloud Giants emulating his deceitfulness and self-interest, and good Cloud Giants emulating his intellect and silver-tongued speech.
Interesting.
Family members usually align in the same direction.
Okay.
So ancient depictions of Memnor often showed him wearing a two-faced mask. Because of this, Cloud Giant nobles seldom show their faces at all, but instead wear exquisite masks made of precious materials adorned with gemstones.
Oh, that's fucking cool.
Each noble has a collection of these masks that it wears to conceal its face but still reflect its current mood. An individual might change masks many times during the day as its emotions shift.
Oh my gosh.
Which seems rather tedious, but here we are. A mask is prized both for its material value and for its accuracy in expressing the mood it represents. Only the richest of Cloud Giants can afford the dozens of masks necessary to show all the subtle differences in emotion possible among their kind.
Oh my gosh.
I know, right?
I can't believe it. They're just like, I lost the bet, mommy. I'm going to go get my sad mask.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. Artisans who can sculpt and craft masks to meet the Cloud Giants' exacting standards in such matters are richly rewarded for their skill.
Can you imagine, like, going to a party and you see that one motherfucker and he's got a sad mask on in the corner? Like, I know you're baiting me. I know you just want me to come talk to you.
Very true.
Okay.
So Cloud Giants aren't, as a general rule, a religious people. Okay. They tolerate many conflicting ideas about their patron deity, Memnor, but among them is a cultish sect known as the Smiling Ones that strain that tolerance to its end.
Ooh.
Smiling Ones are Cloud Giants who honor and emulate Memnor's craftiness and deceit above all other things.
Okay.
They are tricksters supreme who use sleight of hand, deception, misdirection, and magic in their pursuit of wealth. They also possess a flair for unpredictability and a wicked sense of humor. While Cloud Giants expect a certain amount of trickery and deceit in their dealings with others of their kind, Smiling Ones overstep the bounds of decorum with their behavior, doing and saying things that nobler Cloud Giants consider beneath the dignity of their kind.
Shoot.
Smiling Ones take their name from the strange two-faced masks that they wear. The smiling half of the face often looks more like a smirk or a triumphant sneer than a pleasant grin. Okay. The frowning half represents the displeasure Smiling Ones feel about their place in the Ordning, second to Storm Giants.
Okay.
The masks serve as symbols of their devotion, but they also conceal their wearers' true facial expressions.
Are we going to talk about their relationship with the higher Ordning members in this episode?
Not really.
We're going to kind of like go Storm Giant and be like, kick the ass of these giants.
Number one, Storm Giants would whip Cloud Giant ass.
Yeah, because
Giants keep the fuck to themselves.
Yeah, they've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot going on. Yeah. So they're mad, though, about being second.
Well, these specific cultists are.
Okay.
The other Cloud Giants don't give a shit, probably.
They're just like, this is our place in the Ordning. We have our dope mountaintop homes.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me fucking put 20 down on black.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, most noble, like, I guess, like, if we're going to keep using the nobility analogy, I'm sure there's most nobles are probably super happy just being nobles.
Yeah.
They're not worried about being royalty.
Sure.
But you're going to have those noble families that are like, no, we deserve to be on top. We deserve to be the royalty.
The go-getters.
And, like, if Cloud Giants are the nobles, the Storm Giants are the royalty.
Got it. So, okay.
I got a couple of fun facts about Cloud Giants.
I love having fun, and I love giants, and I love
okay.
facts.
Okay. So Cloud Giants are naturally attuned to the magic of their airy domains and are able to turn into mist and create clouds of billowing fog.
Cool.
They are also generally better spellcasters than most other giants. Some Cloud Giants can control weather, bring storms, and steer the wind almost as well as their cousins, the Storm Giants.
Oh, man, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm getting so many good ideas for roleplay in this episode.
That's good. I'm glad.
Like when the Cloud Giant is like, supposed to be home, but he gets caught by the mistress, like, gambling or whatever. Right. And he's like, oh, shit. And he just fucking turns into a cloud.
Ah, that's cool. I love
goes
that.
Goes to the wall.
That's fun. So, second fun fact. As humanoid nobles keep an eyrie for hunting hawks, so do cloud giants keep griffins, peritons, and wyverns as their own flying beasts of prey.
Whoa.
Such creatures also patrol the cloud giants' gardens by night, along with trained predators such as owlbears and lions. Any sort of creature might be found in a cloud giant menagerie, with rare specimens treated more as status symbols than as companions.
Damn, they got a little zoo.
They do. They got a zoo. They got a menagerie. Oh, the menagerie is a zoo, but they have an arboretum with the garden.
They're riding two griffins like rollerblades.
Yeah, sure, why not. Fuck it. Any questions about cloud giants?
I just keep coming up with cool roleplay ideas, like what happens when all their beasts get out and they don't give a shit and they go like,
I mean, they would give a shit. They'd be like, my beasts.
Oh shoot, my beasts. I need
them. My zoo.
Oh no, stop eating all the people.
Yeah, I need them.
yeah, but for them.
But exactly. I have two stat blocks for you to read over there. Cloud giant and smiling one.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, so. Oh, so the smiling one is the is a super giant.
Yep.
Oh, cool. Oh wow. They're fucking scary. Cloud giants are scary.
Yes,
cloud giants. Even the good ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it.
Cloud giant. Huge giant. I read the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are 50% neutral good and 50% neutral evil. This is cool. This is a great way to kind of put neutral into like a picture way. This is the way I kind of think about it, is like super like into yourself.
Right.
Okay, so armor class is 14 natty armor. Hit points, that's good. 200, not bad. Speed is 40 feet. There's no flying speed, but they can turn into clouds, apparently. So strength is plus 8. That's a 27. Dex is 10. Con 22. Intelligence 12. Wisdom 16. And charisma 16. Con saving throws. Con plus 10. Wisdom plus 7. And charisma plus 7. That all tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. I love D&D. Skills. Insight plus 7. Perception plus 7. Nice. Insight is a very good skill for somebody like this.
Yes.
Senses, passive perception, 17. Cool, because you're wise as fuck. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Languages, common and giant. You would think there'd be more there.
I mean, this again is just like a standard block. You could just add what you want.
True, because like people, a status symbol might be in, like, knowing more, maybe? I don't know.
Not really, but I'm like sure some about, are more well-read than others. Just no, like
yeah, knowing human, about your stuff.
Like, there are some humans that know nine languages and plenty that only know one or two.
Fair. So we got keen smell. The giant has advantage on wisdom perception checks that rely on smell. Mm-hmm. Innate spellcasting. The giant's innate spellcasting ability is charisma. It can innately cast the following spells, requiring no material component. What are material components? Just kidding. at will, detect magic, fog, cloud, and light. Cool. Three times a day, they can do Featherfall, Fly, Misty Step, Telekinesis. I love the Fly spell. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Once a day, they can control weather or make a gaseous form. Can you
imagine just this 24-foot tall cloud giant just soaring through the air?
Or vanishing and appearing. All that stuff is fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
So multi-attack. The giant makes two Morningstar attacks. Morningstar is that big fucking... It's like a club, kind of.
It's like a club with spikes at the end on a ball.
Yeah. So the Morningstar does plus 12 to hit on melee weapon attack. 10-foot reach, one target, and the hit is 21 damage or 3d8 plus 8 piercing damage. Here it is, rock.
Yeah, even they throw rocks.
Which can be subbed for giant pumpkin.
I wonder if a cloud giant rock is like gilded or like,
oh, like jewel they only embedded. Throw the finest rocks.
I can
like,
see that.
They're throwing like, oh, that a status symbol. We're throwing fine precious gems as our rocks.
Yeah.
Here's a bunch of emerald I don't need. Watch me crush this baddie with it.
Right. I could definitely see that.
Oh, man. Did you see Gertrude kill that guy with that fucking emerald? I don't even have that much emerald in my whole stockpile. Holy
shit.
Exactly. And she just like killed that guy with it. Okay.
She didn't even go back for it.
Fucking Gertrude, dude. You're ruthless. And you have a lot of emerald, dude. Where'd you get it all?
That's too funny.
Oh, I'll bet you all my gold for all your emeralds. Anyway, so the ranged weapon attack is plus 12 to hit, 60 to 240 foot range with one target. The hit does 30 or 4d10 plus 8 bludgeoning damage.
There we go.
So let's get into
the smiling one.
Cloud giant, smiling one, huge giant, cloud giant, chaotic neutral. Just straight up chaotic neutral.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the hit points, 262. What is that? That's an extra 62 on top of the last one with same movement speed of 40 feet. 26 strength, 12 dex, 22 con, 15 intelligence, 16 wisdom, 17 charisma. plus 10 to con saving throws, plus 6 to intelligence saving throws, and plus 7 to charisma. Deception, plus 11. Insight, plus 7. Perception, plus 7. Sleight of hand, plus 9. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Senses, the passive perception is still 17. They know common and giant, and their challenge rating, 11. The innate spellcasting. The giant's innate spellcasting ability is charisma. Spell save DC 15. It can innately cast the following spells, requiring no material components. Detect magic, fog, cloud, light. 3 a day is featherfall, fly, misty step, telekinesis, and 1 a day control weather and gaseous form. It's the same. Spellcasting is the giant is a 5th level spellcaster. Wow. Its spellcasting ability is charisma. Spell save DC 15 plus 7 to hit with the spell with spell attacks. The giant has the following bard spells prepared. So cantrips are minor illusion, prestidigitation, vicious mockery. Mm-hmm. First level, you get 4 slots at cure wounds, disguise self, silent image, and Taj's hideous laughter. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
Second level is 3 slots, and they get invisibility and suggestion. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Third level, they get 2 of those, and they have major image and tongues.
So while regular cloud giants were specializing in more elemental magic, mm-hmm. These ones are specializing in deceitful illusion trickery magic.
Yes, barding it out. Mm-hmm. Stealing, pickpocketing your shit.
Yep.
Do you think they would resort to pickpocketing with a sleight of hand like that?
Definitely. And that's, again, what I said. The cloud giants, like, it's not acceptable to steal from each other.
Right. But these ones will because they're fucking aberrants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next is the multi-attack. The giant makes 2 attacks with the Morningstar. That's pretty much the same all the way down. And rock, pretty much the same all the way down. They have an ability where they can use actions. Change shape. The giant magically polymorphs into a beast or humanoid it has seen or back into its true form. Wow. Any equipment the giant is wearing or carrying is absorbed by the new form. Its statistics, other than its size, are the same in each form. It reverts to its true form if it dies. Wild shape? Did I just read wild shape?
I think so. Let me.
Like,
let
pretty
me
much.
This. Yeah. Let me see.
I think I just read wild shape.
They're bard druids. magical polymer is a beast of humanoid scene. Vegas true form. Yeah. That's
yeah, wild man. Shape. If yeah. they're trying to freak you out and scare you, they can do all kinds of nasty stuff. These are horrifying, scary, scary
cloud giants.
Weapons of dungeon masters that want to fuck your shit so hard.
Yeah. I could just see, like, I don't know why I'm picturing like a male female pair of smiling ones with their masks on and like just like coming at the party as if they're benevolent, but like slowly, like you realize that they're really deceitful. And now you're in a bad situation because you got 2 cloud giants and you're in an enclosed room. If you don't do what they say, they can do this shit to you.
They can become the griffins that they keep in cap. They can become owlbears and eat your toes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine them all like misty stepping around you, or like one of them becomes a cloud while the other one's like taking your wallet?
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Cool.
So I think we've covered cloud giants, unless you have any other questions about them.
I don't. This is pretty fucking cool. So these guys, I guess I do. The smiling ones, they're the top. They're the top tier, right? They're like,
well, okay. This is one of the things that kind of bugs me about like this episode of You're the Big Guy, because all the other giants up to this point that we've covered who have like this alternate, like more powerful version.
Yeah, like the aberrant.
It's usually some sort of like magical or divine thing going on to make the giant more powerful than itself. This is just a giant that has no scruples.
Well, I feel like it's more than that because of the stat block. Like,
that's what I mean. Like,
they lean into that, and the god has like granted them more power.
There's nothing that hints in the lore that says God is doing that, and they're not doing divine spells. They're doing bard spells. I don't get why they've become so much more powerful. I guess just because like they've abandoned any pretense to civility in a way.
So they're willing
to do more than a regular cloud giant would do.
I would say that's just the first step though.
Yeah.
Because what happens next? Are there like forbidden scrolls where you learn this magic? Did you like pray and receive that power, or like did you just get it because you took off that limiter and now you're good at like doing sleight of hand because you're willing to steal now?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It just seems like they're more willing to do bad stuff, so they're more powerful because of it.
Maybe it's more like a demonic thing where, like, if you unhinge yourself, like, you get tricked into that, you get more powerful in a way.
But again, like, there's nothing in the lore that states that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is all the other ones so far, there is an inherent reason that that form of giant is more powerful.
Right. Like,
and like with this one, it's just like
hungry. And then God came and God said, you're even more hungry now.
Exactly. Yes.
You're hungry forever.
Or, you know, the fire giant dreadnoughts, like those are like the creme de la creme, most buff of the fire giants. And they then get special training to be dreadnoughts. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Like,
yes.
There's always some factor with this one. There really isn't one that I could find, but it's still cool. I still like it.
You can always be like, well, they're sneaky as fuck. So the lore is secret.
Sure.
I guess.
There you go.
Yeah, you could do all kinds of stuff like that, but I you can come up with it. I mean, you'd have to.
It's your game.
Scary monster.
That being said, let's get ready for a long rest.
Let's do that. I've got my house slippers on, William. They're pink and fuzzy. Do you know, this might seem strange, but do you know what I like to drink before bed?
What do you like to drink before
bed? Delicious dark roast, William. A delicious dark roast.
Yeah.
Do you know where to get a delicious dark roast?
I do know where to get a delicious
dark roast. The Adventurous Coffee Company has sent us a bag of coffee.
Yes,
we tried it. We loved it.
It was very good.
That's a very robust flavor. And the fragrant smell of it when I opened the package, you weren't there for that part.
Potent.
It was potent. Yes. It still smells. I have a little bit left. I plan on drinking it soon. My wife is into it. She drank a bunch. Yeah, she's about it. But basically, guys, we're doing this. This long rest is sponsored by Adventurous Coffee Company.
Indeed.
They're like a D&D centric team of people that want to give you coffee. I've got their website up. They've got like Fair Maiden Coffee, Base Camp, the Dungeons and Dark Roast.
Ooh.
This one's cool. Bean to the Future. And it's got like a DeLorean on it.
That's pretty cool.
But basically, go to their website. Check it out. You can get 10% off of a bag of coffee right now by using promo code DUNGEONCAST. All one word, DUNGEONCAST. Go to their website.
Put the link in the description.
Yeah, there's a link in the description below. Mm-hmm. We're going to be promoting them on social media, and you're probably going to hear about it a few more times. We're basically just going to tell you, like, go get some coffee. Use
promo stay code awake DUNGEONCAST. During your D&D sessions.
And you can get 10% off.
Or stay up late while you're prepping your D&D sessions.
Staying up late, like I'm about to, and do my prep for Flashbang and the Surgeon.
There we go.
Yeah, and basically, my caffeine needs have been stripped back from my health, but I've been hitting the Dungeons Dark Roast. I've been hitting the Adventures Coffee Company, and it's a good time. Yeah. So you guys should really go check it out.
Indeed.
Do we have anything else for our long rest?
We have 1 week left of the contest where we're giving away 3 copies of the D&D Essentials Kit.
That's right.
And if you are looking to win one of those 3 copies, all you have to do is go on Twitter, tweet a link to one of our episodes or a playlist or just the show in general with the hashtag DungeonCast. That'll enter you in the contest. I'll be pulling 3 names off the list on June 7th. So again, you got 1 week, and I believe there's a way to enter the contest on Instagram.
Yeah, and we'll also touch on other social media entries because you can do you can do any social
media entry. You send us proof of other ones too, that works as well.
Yeah, but you can do that at the dungeoncast@gmail.com. Take a screenshot of like your Facebook thing because we're not on there anymore and send it to us, and that totally works. But if you want to go on Instagram, the DungeonCast on Instagram, you can find the post with the Essentials Kit on it. Go to the comments, tell us your favorite DungeonCast episode, tag 2 people. Make sure you're following the account.
Bam.
That's all you got to do.
You're in the contest.
You're in the contest. We're going to cumulatively get all the names together and roll a big die.
A digital die.
Yeah. We're going to randomize who we pick. That's how we always do it. We're able to ship outside the US now through like Amazon allows you to do that.
Oh, sweet. Nice. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So we're able to kind of like play around with that.
Cool.
If you win and you're outside the country, we're going
to
do our best. We're not
going to
make you like a solid promise on it, but pretty sure we can get it to you.
Nice.
So yeah.
That's been a problem up till now.
Yeah. I looked into it. I should have looked into it long ago, honestly, had this option, but yeah, we can get these to you, overseas or across borders or whatever it is. It looks like at this point. So yeah.
Cool.
Make sure you check out our social media, and just like the whole point of it is to tell people about the show.
So indeed.
If you guys could help us out, tell somebody, you know, that might like the show about the show to help us spread the word about the show, because we love the show and we think you love the show because you tell us you love the show. So thanks for listening to the show.
Indeed. And with that, I think we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.